The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews were complaining to each other about Jesus because he had said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." "Surely this is Jesus, son of Joseph," they said. "We know his father and mother. How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus said in reply, "Stop complaining to each other. No one can come to me unless he is drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God, and to hear the teaching of the Father and learn from it is to come to me.' Not that anybody has seen the Father except the one who comes from God. He has seen the Father. I tell you most solemnly, everybody who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert and they are dead. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that a man may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. I think as we come on holiday, we look for renewal and recreation, refreshment and relaxation. And we come on these Sundays, and it seems to get deeper and deeper each week in the Gospel. And Jesus saying, "Stop complaining." That's why we pick up Elijah today, because we all know moments of despair, exhaustion, reaching the end of our tether. Every parish I've always been in has always had a school, and we always get near to the end of term, and we're just longing for the end of term. The children probably as well as the teachers, certainly the teachers, we're ready for that change, that moment of much needed, in a sense, holiday. Well, it's not quite how we get Elijah. Elijah's worse than that. He needs more than a holiday. He's had enough. He's in a state of despair. He's reached the end of his tether. His life seems a failure. His fellow prophets have been murdered by King Ahab and his wicked Queen Jezebel, who wants Elijah dead as well. He feels unable to continue, and so he prays to God, "Let me die." But God doesn't. He doesn't let him die, because he's still got lots of work for him to do. So he sends his angel to nourish him, and that is to give him new strength, new hope, so that he can journey on to the mountain of God. And in a way, that sort of holiday, we try to get some new strength, some new hope, some difference in our lives. And what God does is he doesn't remove Elijah's problems, but he replaces his despair and weakness with strength and courage to go on. He renews that faith. And he does it through the angel. The angel twice, actually, wakes Elijah up and says, "Eat, drink." Twice. Just in the same way that Peter, in a desperate situation, when all seems to be nearly the ending for him too, when he's in prison, the angel comes, shakes him twice to make sure and to move him on. But the purpose of today focus is really on food for the journey. God is feeding Elijah for his journey to the mountain. And it was a defining moment in Elijah's life. And so too, the gospel has that as well in the life of Jesus and his followers. As with Elijah, in a way, it's a matter of life and death, of faith versus unbelief, of making the journey which leads us to God, or of staying where we are and dying there. The Jews, who have been following Jesus are complaining about who he claims to be. They think they know fine well who he is. We know his mum and dad, Joseph and Mary. Who does he claim to be anymore? Of course, it was St. John that we're reading that gospel that unveils it to us. This is the Word of God. This is the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. And the complaint that the Jews have, we come back to in 2 weeks' time, because it says, after hearing his doctrine, many said, this is intolerable language. How can anyone accept it? And they walked away. And we see in our own times many people who, for whatever reason, walk away from their faith. And yet the strange thing is, in the last 2 days, two not all that old people, probably in their 30s, maybe 40s, but not quite sure, but that doesn't really matter, who both lapsed Catholics, both been in touch and said, we'd like to come back. We need to, what is the Lord saying to us? A bit like Elijah, many problems, and yet knowing that when we come, we're always here and welcome. We come as guests invited. The Lord always inviting us to his table, but to feed and nourish us. Nourish us with his word. That's what he says. He comes down, he's the Word made flesh, he unfolds that word to us in the first part of that gospel reading. Because to be drawn to the Word and fed and nourished at his hand is to draw us closer to the Father. And if we're to come to the Father, we have to be drawn by Jesus and what he offers us, which is his life for the world. Because in what he does when he comes, he undoes the first defining moment in the scriptures, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, who brought death into the world. But the second Adam, to the fight, to the rescue, came through his mother Eve, Mary, that we shall celebrate in the Assumption next weekend. That too changes a very decisive moment in the whole of the world's history. And so Jesus is inviting us to that belief in him and says, those who eat this food will never die, but live forever. We face often in our lives defining moments when the reality of our lives tests our faith. But when we sit under our first tree like Elijah does, and remember where he was then? He was in the wilderness. We can, in our point in our lives, can feel we're too in the wilderness. God sends that angel to nourish, strengthen us, so that we can carry on for the journey. It's our guardian angel nudging us, come back. The Lord invites you to his table. And he feeds and strengthens us for that journey. But he is also the goal of the journey. Because to come to him, to the Mount of Horeb, is to come to the presence of God himself, the vision of God, and Jesus at his right hand, that ultimate journey for us throughout our life and beyond that into the eternal life. And we make that journey under the shadow of a tree, the tree always of the cross, that we sing, O faithful tree, faithful cross, that tree that he's under, that gives himself life for the world. But we don't journey alone either. We go with others. We come together. That's why we come as guests invited, but we all come. And our second reading picks all that up from Ephesians that we've had the last couple of weeks as well, that togetherness, the people of God making that journey in life together, or the very closeness mentioned we've had in the last 2 weeks. Today, Paul challenges us not to upset the Holy Spirit by holding grudges, by loss of temper, by yelling at people, calling names and spitefulness, because St. Paul says, these things grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, most of you that know me, I know the visitors necessarily won't, but the others of you know I'm not a soap watcher on television, but often you get clips of them. In fact, when EastEnders started, I was in Somers Town near the East End, and they said, "Oh, do you watch EastEnders, Father?" I said, no, I don't need to, I'll just look at you. But they knew they were all right. I wasn't insulting them in any way. But if you see some of the clips, what you get is often, you know, loss of temper. They seem to thrive on sort of argument, yelling at each other, calling people's names, spitefulness, even violence, and all supposedly in showing your feelings. No, St. Paul says, don't make the Holy Spirit sad. Imitate God, because you're children of the Father's love. Follow Christ, he said, by loving as he loved you, giving himself up as in our place as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. One of the important points when in a baptism we are anointed with the chrism, and I always point it out to the people as well, the word chrism, of course, is Christ. It's the oil of chrism that is really Christ. And it's always mixed with the oil of flowers to give a sweet savour. And this is like a sweet savour going up to God. And St. Paul said, let your life in a way be like that, because it's picking up from the sweetness that the Lord, as he was about to go under the shadow of that tree, the night that he gave his own body and blood, washed the disciples' feet. Reproducing in a way the great commandment from the Last Supper, love one another. I've given you an example. So when we're going on this journey, whether we're in the depths of despair like Elijah, a defining moment that we've been through that we may have to face, let it encourage us. And let it encourage us to take up the psalm response. Taste and see that the Lord is good.